the beginning of the year, I had an exchange with some text messages with the managing director of my old company. He is a man that is over 70. He is retired with family, quite a wealthy man. And every year I have the privilege to share with him a small, simple Christian calendar. I'm sure many people hate me for that, but he doesn't. But listen to this. He said to me, "Now that I am retired, I have more time to think." I said, "Good, we're getting somewhere." But the message went on. "I've realized that possibly faith is not indispensable for life." Bro, that was bad thinking, wasn't it? "I just think people should respect one another and other people's ideas. I'm here tonight to prove to each one of you that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is indispensable for life." I don't know if dispensable is a bad word. I'll try and explain. It means you cannot do without it. You must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone in this room who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I wish I could impose it on you. I cannot. I don't have that such power. But I can exhort you. I can encourage you. I can stir you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the greatest possession you can ever, ever have. I'm going to prove this by looking at five things, just five tonight, all right? That faith gives you, assurances that faith gives you, that no man can ever give you. No riches can ever buy. No science can ever reveal. Nothing in this world, nothing that man, power, authority in this world will ever offer to you can be as good as faith in Christ Jesus. We're going to start in Acts chapter 10. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. We're just going to read verse 43. Acts 10, verse 43. It's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it says, "To him all the prophets bear witness that every one that believes on him will receive through his name remission of sins." As we go through these five aspects, I'll try and relate to five feelings that you may have had, or may have, or will have in life. The first feeling is guilt. Have you ever felt guilty? No, never. All right, sorry for you, I have, very much. Guilt is a horrible feeling. Nobody can help you. You'll feel, well, you don't understand. You don't know what I've done. I have a criminal colleague that's been in prison for awful things. Sometimes he comes up to me, we have lovely chats together, and he says, "You don't know what I've done. You have no idea how I feel." Guilt is a big problem. If you've never experienced this, I would like to tell you you will never, but I assure you that you will. So listen to this. Listen to this. Whoever believes on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, will have, has, remission of sins. What's that got to do with guilt? A lot. A lot. Because guilt comes from being sinful. When you commit a sin, not necessarily guilty towards others, you know, it does happen, but your conscience prickles when you're guilty towards God. Oh, God does not exist. That's not true. Your conscience hurts, doesn't it? You're prickled, aren't you? Why? Why is that? Because God knows, and you have a problem with God, and it needs to be dealt. Well, praise the Lord that that problem has been dealt with for you and me. Who's dealt with that problem? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has come all the way down here to deal with that problem. What? With that guilt? With that lie that I told to the person? Yeah, that one. Exactly that. You can think of all the things you've done. And you can put the name aside, take it and say, Jesus dealt with this. Jesus dealt with this. Jesus dealt with this. How beautiful is that? What a wonder. What a wonder. Remission of sins. Can you understand the greatness of that? Have you ever met someone that can wash away the consequences of what you've done? Have you ever met somebody like that? I haven't. That, the one who I'm talking to you about, Jesus. What a wonderful man he is. What a wonderful person. Do you know him? Do you believe in him? If you haven't made your choice yet in life, if you haven't made that step, make it today, now. Don't waste time. I can assure you nobody will ever wash your sins away. Only Jesus has through his blood, if you believe in him. So believe on his name and you will have remission of sins. That feeling of guilt can be set aside. What comes in? Peace, comfort, assurance that that problem has been dealt with. Right, let's go to number two. Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 39. Acts 13, verse 39 says, and from all things from which ye could not be justified in the law of Moses, in him every one that believes is justified. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, not justification again. Oh, no. Why are you talking about this again? Let me explain. The feeling I'm going to talk to you about now is what I call an inferiority complex. I'll describe it like that. You may think, well, I don't feel inferior to anybody. Well, let me explain better what I mean. Each one of us in life has some ambitions. And we want to do great things, don't we? We want to do better as we're growing. We're like, I would like to do this. I would like to do that. There's nothing wrong with ambitions. Nothing wrong. But put them in the right place. Put them in the right place. I work with plenty of people that are suffering from inferiority complex. Plenty of people that think that they deserved to have a degree. And because back in the day there wasn't the schools, there wasn't the universities, they couldn't afford it, and now look at what I've got just because I don't have that piece of paper. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. It's not true. It's not men and women that weigh your life and that value the preciousness of your soul. Dear friend, the great news, there's one person that knows how valuable you are today. And you can go out of that room jumping tonight because God thinks you're wonderful. God thinks you're precious. You're a special person. You know why? Because he's made you. He's made you. He's made you exactly like you are. He's given exactly the character that you have. Even if your neighbor, your friend, your family think, oh no, no, horrible. You're beautiful in his eyes. God loves you just as you are. So why am I speaking of justification? Because you better stop thinking, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. Oh no, I did this wrong, I did that wrong. Change your focus, dear friend. Focus on the Lord Jesus. Stop wasting your life in getting better. Start investing your life in believing on Him. Things will change dramatically for the better. It will be a wonderful moment when you realize that it's not you that has done a good thing, but Christ done it for you. Christ's done it for you. What a wonderful assurance. So that complex, that feeling, that terrible thought that somebody else is better than you, and that your neighbor's house is better than yours, and that you couldn't afford such a house, oh no, what will people think about you? Stop worrying about it. You can stop worrying about that today. You're not interested in what people think about you. You're interested in what God has done for you because He loves you. Believe on Him. My dear friend, what a wonderful certainty to have. Right, we go on to third thought, and that is in Romans. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 is going to be verse 11. For the scripture says, no one believing on Him shall be ashamed. I need to explain that a little bit better. Not because scripture is not clear, but because I don't understand that. And because I haven't understood that for years, maybe you also haven't understood it like me. Maybe you're better, more clever than I am. Doesn't matter. I want to share with you something very precious. What is the feeling I have in my mind? The translation in Italian with this verse says, uses a different word from ashamed. And it uses a word which means, in English it's translated, to be let down. Whoever believes on the Lord Jesus will never be let down. Can I tell you? Can you guess the feeling? What's the feeling that we're going to talk about? To be let down by somebody. A month ago, I got a phone call from a supplier. He has a company, and they do painting of machinery and structures and all sorts of things. Incredible company, about 40 people working three shifts, and there's stuff going in and out like this. It seems like there's no tomorrow. They do a great service. That man, the owner of the company, goes in at work at 5 o'clock in the morning, comes out at 11 o'clock at night. He's divorced from his wife, has a daughter that she wants to see the dad, she has to go in the company. Monday to Sunday. When he phoned me, he was desperate. He'd just been in a court case, and because somebody, one of his workers, had an injury because of his own wrong action. This man was given 5 months of, I don't know what you call it in English, but he has to do, well, something to be helpful to society, whatever it is, the legal term, for 5 months. The feelings of this man, just to give you an idea of the man, he's got long hair down to here, big muscle man, tattoos, get the man, okay? He was in tears. He was in tears. He said to me, couldn't have been a worse thing in my life. And he says, you know who did that? My first worker who's been with me for 20 years. I've helped him out of trouble. I've always given him the money that he needed. This is what he's done to me. This man was let down. You know what, though? Not just let down by his worker. Let down by his own decisions in life. Is it worth it? Is what you're doing today worth it? Have you asked yourself that question? All the difficulty, all the tears, all the sweat, is it worth it? Well, I find it an amazing thing that God's word has a complete different approach to the subject. God says, whoever believes on him shall never be let down. Do you like it? I like it very much. I can tell you, it's the best decision I've ever made in my life, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you, dear friend. You know, you may hear sometimes, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this, I've believed on him. No, you don't know enough about it. We will never know enough about believing on his name, on the greatness of that name, on the power of that name, on the one, the only one that will never, ever let us down. Thank God there is such a promise in Scripture. And thank God that this promise can be yours today. You can grasp it simply by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. How great is that? We're going on to John 6. John 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, that's in truth. I'm telling you the truth. This is what this is saying, okay? I say to you, this is to you and to me, each one of us, open your ears, listen carefully. He that believes on me has life eternal. Can you guess the fear I'm going to talk about? The fear of death. With the Lord's help, we've just bought a house. And this house is, the owners are over 80 years old. And my wife and I have spent a couple of moments with them. Twice we've sat down and had a bit of a chat. They're quite fun, this couple. They're quite humorous and amusing. But there's a certain reality that has struck them recently, that moving out of their house will soon mean moving into the cemetery. And the lady said to me, that's my next step. What? Is that all? Is that all life is about? Is it really like that? Is it that grim? Is it? Well, if it is, I'll be running away. What is the point? They built the house. They did everything to it. They kept it, maintained it. And now they've got to sell it. And they're going in a tomb, in a sepulchre. Is that what life is all about? I can tell you tonight, with certainty in my heart, that that is not what life is all about. God has made us not to finish our days in a cemetery. That is not the purpose of creation. That is the result of sin. That first thing we talked about 20 minutes ago, that thing that we can be washed away. The story gets even better. Not only we don't feel guilty anymore, but you can have the assurance of not feeling death. Because, my dear friend, the wonderful news of the gospel of faith in Christ Jesus is that it doesn't finish there. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, you have eternal life. You have it. It's yours. You can keep it, dear friend. No one will ever take it away from you. somebody, and you know who, you can tell the name, Jesus, has secured it for you, bought it at a great price. He gave himself so that you and I could have that assurance of eternal life. What is eternal life? Is it just about living forever? It's much more, much greater. I love a verse that tells me this is eternal life. You know, you young ones, look into Scripture. Look when Scripture says this is. It is said. Look at the certainties of what Scripture gives you. There is nothing better than to have the certainty of God's Word. And God's Word tonight is telling in this verse, I can tell you truthfully, I'm telling you the truth. If you believe in Him, the Lord Jesus, you have eternal life. I can tell you, if I go in a place and they give me the assurance that I have eternal life, I can never go in a better place than that. Well, faith is not about a place. It's about a person. You're not getting eternal life in this place in Worthing, dear friend. You're getting eternal life wherever you are in the world if you believe in that wonderful name, the name of Jesus. So if you believe in Jesus, have you understood? Have you valued how precious it is to have eternal life? May the Lord give you a sense of that now when you're here. That verse says, this is eternal life, to know Him, God the Father, and His Son, whom He has sent. It's all about knowing God. That's why a real believer can never explain to an unbeliever why God exists. You can't explain faith, but you can show it. You can live it. Because if you know God, you have eternal life. You have it. So you've believed in the Lord Jesus. Nobody knows God except he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the example, the prime example of that? The people of Israel. They thought they knew God, and Jesus says to them, if you believe in God, believe also in me. But they didn't, did they? Did they believe in God? No, they didn't. Did they know God? No, they didn't. So you can ask yourself, do I really believe? Do I really know God? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and that you have real remission of sins? Do you believe in those certainties we've spoken about? Let's go to the last one. Don't want to tire you out. John 11. I'm going to read three verses, okay? They're all on the same subject. John 11, verse 10. But if anyone walk in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And then in chapter 12, John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus therefore said to them, yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while ye have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. And he who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. And the last verse, same chapter, verse 46. So John 12, verse 46. I am come into the world as light, that everyone that believes on me may not abide in darkness. Let me try and explain it simply, as simply as I can. I don't like saying that the feeling is to be in the light or to be in the dark, okay? So I'm going to explain it a bit differently before we get any funny ideas. Have you ever felt lost? Have you ever doubted? Have you ever been concerned on having made the wrong decision? Okay, one of these, can you answer to one of these? If you can relate to one of these thoughts, I hope I'm going to be able to convey what I have in mind. What faith in the Lord Jesus gives you is stability and understanding. All you need to do to start worrying is reading the news on your phone, or listening to the radio, or sometimes even listening to your neighbor or your colleague who comes in on Monday morning. He says, did you hear that? What? That Christ died for me? No, that thing there. Ah. Media. Media in this world and made to cause fear, to cause, bring doubt, to bring worry, to bring concern. Should I switch them on? Should I never read them? I'm not saying that. Because there is one that is greater and more powerful than media. I want to share with you, though, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you have great stability and understanding. It's not me that tells you this. The Lord Jesus says it himself. Now, what is it all about? This is it. He says that, Jesus says that the man, a woman, that walks in darkness stumbles. Do you believe it? If you don't, tonight, get up in the middle of the night, don't switch on the lights, and walk in the house. I can assure you, most of you will stumble and fall. Some of them will whack their head against the wall or a door. It is true. If you're in darkness, you stumble. It's another thing. If you're in darkness, you don't know where you're going. You don't. You really don't. You think you're going in one direction, and you're going the opposite way. In November, where we live, we have a lot of fog. And the fog is bad enough, but we're thankful when it's day. When it's night, you haven't got a clue where you are. You're driving 10 miles an hour, thinking, oh yeah, this is where the corner is. Where's where the bend is? Like, ooh, it was there. And you go, well, am I alone in this road? And the next minute, there's a car in front. You haven't got a clue of where you're going. So Jesus does not tell lies. He doesn't. He never does. He speaks in truth. He verily tells you. Now Jesus is talking about something even greater and more worrying, of greater concern to you and to me. It's not just about walking about in the world, the house, going to work. It's about your life. This is what matters to him. Are you leading your life? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going? If you don't, you're in darkness. You know the story of that believer, I know, in Sydney that would stop the people and say, if you die tonight, where will you go? And how many people were troubled by that question? Have you ever tried asking such a question? Have you ever tried asking somebody if they know where they're going? I say, of course I do. I'm going home. He says, no. Where are you going? What happens if you die tonight? Where is your soul going? Soul? I don't have a soul. Of course you do. All of us have a soul. God has made us with a soul. And he's going to call it. Where are you going? Now, dear friend, it's the last thing and I'm finishing here. What does he say? That he's come as light in the world so that whoever believes in me may not stay or abide or remain in darkness. Jesus doesn't want you to be in darkness. Jesus doesn't want you not knowing where you go. You know why Jesus' testimony is true? There's one occasion where it says, what I say is true. Why? Because I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going. There's only one category of people that have the same character, same truth in them, those that believe in the Lord Jesus. They know where they've come from. Don't you? I do very well. And they know where they're going. Do you know where you're going? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have understanding. For his name's sake. Amen.